I have never interviewed these people, but I've met them. Our next guest, it's a husband and wife, Joe and Amy Alton, both doctors, both MDs. They have a life fellowship with the American College of OBGYN, a retired fellow of the American College of Surgeons. Okay, when my wife and I started Numana, we would do a lot of prepper shows. We call them prepper shows. That's what we call them. They're not really trade shows. They're prepper shows. And whenever there was a real good one or a big one or whatever, we would see these two, Dr. Doom and Bloom. That's kind of what they... That is what they, their nickname and their moniker, and it was always very cool, and I talked to them several times. I don't know if they remember me or not, but it was very neat meeting them and what they did. Now we have them here on the Power Hour. They've written a couple books for sure. The one previous is the Survival Medicine Handbook, and that is certainly appropriate right now, but they have a new one also. I'll let them introduce that. Doomandbloom.net is their website. Doomandbloom.net. They also do a podcast. Dr. Joe and Amy Alton, welcome to the Power Hour.
Daniel, thank you so much for having us.
Hi, yeah, Daniel. Thank you for the upgrade, but I'm actually a advanced registered nurse practitioner, which I think is, you know, almost there.
No, she's more than that. She's a certified nurse.
And I'm a certified nurse. But I, however, to clarify, I'm not a medical doctor. Maybe when I'm 70, I'll go back to school. I don't know.
Well, there's always
a later in life
dreaming.
Career.
Well, I know this.
There you go.
If I wanted to get a straight answer, I would probably talk to you, wouldn't I? They'd probably come from you.
You know what? Nurses don't mince words.
She's the brains. I'm the pretty face.
Now, Joe, I've already told everybody I've met you. Now we know that your wife is the beautiful one. We can't lie to them.
She is quite beautiful. Yeah.
You're so sweet.
You got a new book. Tell us the name. I didn't have the name of your new book. Please tell us the name of that.
Well, our new book has just come out. It's called Alton's Pandemic Preparedness Guide. And it talks about, a decade of our writings on all sorts of different issues. We do discuss COVID-19, obviously, which is in the news. The pandemic is in the news. But we also discuss other emerging threats, other viral threats. This one here is essentially a book on how to deal with viral disease. Our previous book, Alton's Antibiotics and Infectious Disease, was how to work with antibiotics and bacterial diseases. Obviously, antibiotics don't kill the viruses, though, so we needed a book to deal with a lot of the current things that we've been having. It's not just COVID-19. We've had Ebola epidemics. We've had Zika epidemics and chikungunya. There's a lot of different, of course, there's all sorts of
SARS,
influenza. Yeah. So we talk about all those things in the book, and we give you some practical advice on home care. You know that the CDC recommends home care for most mild to moderate cases of COVID-19, but they don't really tell you exactly what to do. And so you have, from a nurse, how to do nursing care for folks that are sick, that are recovering, and from my end, I tell you how to put together an effective sick room for epidemics or pandemic disease, you know, contagious disease, and also how we together tell you how to properly don and doff personal protection equipment. That is how a lot of people wind up getting things wrong, not putting a mask on properly, not doing something when they put on or more often take off their personal protection equipment that winds up contaminating themselves.
Exactly, which is probably why a lot of our healthcare workers are getting ill. It's not that they're not wearing the proper gear, because it's very rare that I'm seeing nurses and doctors, you know, who have direct contact with these COVID patients. Now, there may be nurses in other areas or doctors in other areas of the hospital that aren't in the room with these patients, but I'm fairly sure that if you have to go into a room and take care of a COVID patient, that they have the right equipment outside that room. What happens is after they get out of the room, and this is where the doffing or the removing of the biohazard gear that you've got on comes into an issue, because your gloves are contaminated and maybe your nose starts itching. I have to tell you, wearing a mask, and I did this when I delivered babies, it's itchy under there. And so without thinking, these people maybe reaching underneath their mask or close to their face, maybe while they're taking their gear off. Maybe they've already taken their goggles off and they reach down and scratch their nose or their face, or they touch something that they didn't expect. So I think, unfortunately, this is where a lot of people are having problems, sadly.
Let me ask you, when did you write this book?
This book was written over a decade. We put together a DVD.
When did you finally finish it? Did you finally
finished it a couple of
3 weeks ago?
Just about 3 weeks ago.
Well, very timely.
Yeah, it's really, very timely, up to date. It's something that's been in the works for so long, but from the past, people know me from my writing on antibiotics. So I wrote about antibiotics and infection and bacterial disease first, and of course they know me from how to be medically prepared. That's our mission, actually, how to put a medically prepared person in every family.
And the fact of the matter is that Joe and I began this entire endeavor simply going to shows to speak, putting out articles. We started a YouTube channel. We started a podcast in October of 2009. So we've been doing that for over 11 years. And what we've done through the years is talk to people about if the hospital's overwhelmed, which obviously we're seeing in several places in this world, but for here personally, we're seeing it in New York City.
A lot of people actually know us for our particular style of writing. Our style of writing is very unusual for medical folks. We write as if there are not modern medical facilities, that there are not hospitals, modern medical professionals that are right at your beck and call, that you, the average person, might wind up being the highest medical resource available to your family in times of trouble. And certainly we've reached that point right now, as a matter of fact, where the CDC specifically tells you to stay home if you have a mild to moderate case of illness. Well, if you stay home, that means somebody in your family is going to be a caregiver. And so we have worked for many years writing in plain English on how to make people effective in the role.
Let me ask you a couple questions here, just generally about the virus that you see. And I definitely want to get into everything, you know, what people can do at home, what have you. I think that's not only interesting, but certainly necessary right now. Let me ask you about the virus in general. I went to Walmart yesterday, or the day before, I don't know. Time just is blurring right now, but I went to Walmart recently.
Yeah.
And as soon as I walk in, they got signs. They got a big tape measure that's 6 feet long, I guess, so you can know what 6 feet is. The cashier, I went up there normal to check out. He says, "Sir, you're going to have to step back 6 feet." You know, and they got bubbles on the floor and all this. Tell me, as a doctor, as somebody, an expert in kind of this area, this 6 feet distancing, can the virus not go more than 6 feet? I mean, what if somebody coughed in the air? What if somebody touched the conveyor belt there? I mean, is this really it certainly can't stop the spread of virus, can it?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, that you are absolutely right when you say that it's very possible that droplets, respiratory droplets, especially a good sneeze, can go much more than 6 feet. As a matter of fact, the CDC has records of 27 feet, as a matter of fact, in terms of how far respiratory droplets can go. And so for that reason, that's why I have spent so much time talking about the importance of wearing masks. In Asia, they do it all the time, routinely, when they go out in public in a lot of places. And it's not just a sign of social responsibility or a sign that, you know, hey, I'm the sick one here. It is truly a sign that, you know, respiratory droplets can really cause disease, and this disease is unfortunately just much more dangerous than your average flu or other typical respiratory infection you can get just from going to the grocery store.
Okay, well, let me ask you on that line of thinking, or that question. That's an important question, because we're seeing this whole process. If you're going to say what, that basically the end of the year kind of it really got our consciousness from China, and then it spread, and so we've been dealing, what, 3-4 months, we've been kind of in the American consciousness. How serious is this? How dangerous is this virus, and how is it different than, you know, the flu or some of these other things?
Well, the amazing thing about COVID-19 is that it really has the ability to destroy the linings of the cells in your lungs. And if it does that, you basically cannot absorb oxygen from your lungs, and so therefore the oxygen does not get to the tissue. The big thing with regards to this kind of infection with COVID-19, or it is just so unusual that 20% of people wind up getting seriously ill, end up in serious or critical condition. At present, if you look at all the active cases that are out there right now, that 5% of people are needing some kind of respiratory support. And that's an awful, awful high number. In terms of comparing it to seasonal flu, it's probably 30 or 40 times more likely to put you into the hospital and into the intensive care unit, and certainly about that number of times more often to put you in your grave.
All right, let me assume, and I can ask either one of you, let's assume everything you said is true. I have no reason to doubt it. I do doubt some of the ways the information has been presented to us. You know, it's been patchwork. It's been spotty at best. They don't release numbers. They test. They don't test. You know, some of these things, I mean, let's be honest, they haven't been completely transparent. I would not say that. Let's assume that what you just told me is true. Is what Walmart is doing, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, I'm just having a discussion here, is Walmart doing with the 6 feet, with the bubbles on the floor, with all this, is this really stopping the spread of the virus, or it's just limiting the spread?
And everything that they do that is recommended by the CDC, by the way, the CDC is still just recommending 3 feet of distance. It's the World Health Organization that recommends 6 feet. And so I think that that's something that really, really has changed. Yes, it's true. It's three
whoa,
feet.
Hold right there. So you're telling me that Walmart is taking their cues from the WHO and not the CDC on this?
That's right. I'm telling you.
I think everybody is. Everybody's doing the 6 feet now.
Yeah, well, everybody is doing the 6 feet, but I'm telling you, but if you look at the actual CDC, the CDC says 1 foot is okay. That now they're starting to say
one meter.
Are beginning to think about it 1 to 2 meters. But the truth of the matter is that none of that really matters as much as actually having a mask and having the ability to prevent respiratory droplets from getting on your face and on your hands and on your face. And many people wind up just starting with it on their hands, and it ends up on their face, in their nose, on their mouth, because, you know, let's face it, people just can't help themselves but touch their face, nose, and eyes.
So the 6 feet is a great start, but the other thing that people have to understand is every single thing that you touch in Walmart has probably been touched by 100 people before that, and not just in the store. The person who stocked the shelves, the person who carried it from the truck into the store, the person who put it on the truck, the people who packed it in the boxes at the manufacturers. I mean, you have to imagine how many people have touched a single product that you touch. And if you don't like that product and you touch the one next to it, now you're touching something else that another 100 people have touched. Now you've got 200 people who may have touched that.
In other words, if you pick up an apple or an orange and you look at it and you decide you don't want it and you put it back on the shelf, well, you're going to have some virus that's going to be on the surface of that fruit for
all
a period of time.
Or a bottle of Lysol. You want to pick up Lysol and put it in your
that's right. You should
your shopping cart.
Right. You should use hand sanitizer before and after selecting produce items. You should avoid touching multiple produce items when you make selections. I mean, in Europe, you're not allowed to just, you know, pinch, you know, the peaches. You are, you know, you point, I want that one, and they give it
to
you.
They put it in a bag and give it to you. But it's also every other item. Every single surface, the door handles, every product from cereal boxes to Lysol containers to bottles of bleach, you find something, you touch it, a bottle of Advil may have been touched 1,000 times before you're touching
it. Don't take Advil right now. Don't take ibuprofen right now. Geez, that'd be the worst thing if you had that.
There is controversy on that, but since one person mentioned maybe there's a problem, They're just going with it, but there's no scientific proof of that.
We prefer people to take the Tylenol,
but go ahead.
Yes, you're right. They actually prefer people to take Tylenol, and so if you have Tylenol, you should take that. There was one study that showed that ibuprofen caused more serious illness in COVID-19 patients. Now, I want to say that that came under scrutiny pretty quickly, and by the next day, the World Health Organization actually retracted that study. And indeed, there is at the present time nothing that is an absolute recommendation against using Advil, but still, everybody is recommending Tylenol.
And I have proof of this because I personally had a COVID-19 test on Friday, and when I left the hospital tent, because I wasn't inside the hospital, they handed me instructions. And we still have them. The instructions said you can take ibuprofen or Tylenol. Both of them were on the sheet. From a COVID-19 testing site, those were the instructions.
That was just 2 or 3 days ago.
That was Friday. Friday afternoon.
Well, okay, let me ask you specifically, Nurse Amy, about the test. What do you do when you go? What do you just request it, or why did you get the test? And then what happens when you get the test? What do they do?
So for 5 days, I was having severe headaches, terrible, terrible nausea, like indigestion, heartburn, nausea, like you wanted to vomit, but then like you didn't. Complete exhaustion. You feel good in the morning, and by 11 to 2 o'clock, you feel like someone came and drained all your blood. Like you literally can't get up. You barely make it to the bed, and, you know, you hope you don't have to get up and pee because you can't. 5 days of that. I didn't have a fever. So everyone who's saying, oh, you have to have a fever, you have to have a fever, didn't have a fever. Now, the test, and then I got chest pain on Friday. And I said, well, this is really strange. I thought I had some GI problem. So this chest pain is strange. It happened in about 30 seconds, like a rubber band put on my chest. The test itself, and by the way, it came out negative, but 40% of the tests come out.
So you went to the hospital or where? Your doctor, the hospital?
I had a telemedicine visit first. So I got Cleveland Clinic offers a video doctor's appointment for free. So I did that. I spoke to him, and my chest was really tight. I could hardly speak. And he said, I've had patients I've seen like you by the evening be in the ICU. Would you like me to call an ambulance? Well, that'll scare the heck out of you. So I kind of panicked at that.
You got out of bed then, didn't you? You got up to you got out of bed then, didn't you?
I was seeing a scare at this point. So Joe drove me over to the hospital tent. They would not let him in, so he had to sit in the car with the air conditioning on because it's 85 or 88 degrees down here in South Florida, not knowing what's going on with me because we forgot a phone for him. And I went in, checked in, took my vitals. The Q-tip, or the cotton tip applicator they stick, feels like it goes into your brain. If you stick a Q-tip as far up into your nose as you can and you start moving it around, your eyes tear up. You feel like you're going to sneeze.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's just, and they keep doing that for, it was a 15 to 30 seconds. It's not like, oh, let me put this in here and take it out. So your eyes are watering and tears are coming down. And then you're in a hospital tent with a bunch of other people who may have COVID-19, which is not pleasant. They did a chest x-ray, also outside, sitting in a chair, which was fine for me, thank goodness.
So totally outdoors. You weren't
so
in the building.
So completely outdoors. No, you do not enter the hospital grounds. It was in the parking lot and then next to the building for all of this. And then you wait. And you wait. And then they tell you, well, you're not going to have your test for 2 or 3 days. So now here's your instructions. Go home.
2 or 3 days?
We don't know.
Pause right there. Let me pause. Let me interject. Why does it take so long? Is it bad technology? Is that the only test we have? What's the deal?
Well, this past weekend was all they had. Now, apparently, this Abbott lab has spread out these quicker tests. I don't know if my hospital has one. I actually asked them, are you going to have the quicker test? You know, I'm going home. I feel horrible. I don't know if I'm sick.
Yeah.
If I've got this.
Yeah.
No, I have something. You feel it. And my test was negative, but I honestly believe it was a false negative. They're 40% of the tests that I have are false negatives, that people really do have it. Some people have two negative tests before they come up positive.
You know, one thing that I think is important for people to know out there is that what Amy had, notice that she didn't complain at all.
I feel
of
better
a
now.
Fever.
Yeah, no fever.
She didn't complain of a cough.
Nope.
So basically her main symptom that prompted the telemedicine professional to tell her to go in was that she was short of breath. And
yes.
I want people to know that you can be short of breath, and it can be a very serious manifestation of COVID-19. It can occur entirely on its own without a cough. So if your chest becomes tight, you begin to feel as if you can't breathe deeply enough to get a good breath, that's a sign to act. Don't wait. Go ahead and call your health professional. Now, notice that I say go ahead and go to the hospital. I didn't say that. And the reason why is because your hospital, especially if you're not in an area which is a hot spot at the moment, may not be prepared for
your
COVID-19 people's arrival.
Right.
So you should need to let them know in advance, or your health professional needs to let them know in advance that somebody with possible COVID-19 is coming.
Which is why I did the telemedicine visit, because I knew I had to contact somebody, and I needed them to be prepared. I didn't know they had a tent outside.
Okay.
Other things that I think people...
Well, this is... You just dropped the bomb on us, Nurse Amy. We're about to come on a break. We got about 40 seconds before the break. But you just told me you think that 40% of the people are getting false negatives. You think that you had it. Because of the symptoms, you're pretty sure you have it.
Yep.
Does that mean your husband got it?
You feel
why
it.
Is this test
negative? People feel it. I don't know.
Why is the test negative? It's because I think it's one of the first tests that was done. I think New York is getting the more advanced tests that you get back in 15 minutes. And I think places that are not considered to be hotspots are making do with the older tests. Of course, they're making a lot more tests now, and hopefully they'll be more easy to access in the near future.
Wow, we're going on break, but I got a lot of questions for you just about that. You know, what did you do? How did you go home? Did the doc start getting sick? How did you treat yourself? Wow. That, you just dropped the button. We should have led with this, Nurse Amy. This is unbelievable. Actually, somebody who got tested about this and went through this. Crazy. Stay tuned. Don't you dare go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Doomandbloom.net. Dr. Joe and Amy and the Power Hour. Stay tuned.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Break the bond to Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
With dozens of food and storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Humana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high-fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Humana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made. Just for you. Food storage, I love to eat. Yum!
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Welcome back to the Power Hour. We had a little visitor here in the booth I had to get rid of. Uncle Kevin wasn't watching ship here. Oreganol, Oregaresp, Altavita Silver, Silver Gel, Silver Lozenges, Super Silver, Purely C, Chagamax, Oregamax, Vitamin D3, Intracal, which is magnesium from Global Healing Center, Zinc and Copper, Selenium, Silver Shield Sanitizer, Orega Spray, all these things are very important. We do have the Willard Water also, ladies and gentlemen. The Vitamin E, the Phosphatidylcholine, remember the cod liver oil and Carlson's in glass to help your cell membrane to solidify your cell membrane. The vitamin E then helps protect it. Very important. The curcumin, the Sera enzyme, the lithium balance, alpha lipoic acid R, Happy Bodies Detox Cocktail, all at the Power Mall. ThePowerMall.com, 877-817-9829. We're talking to our great guests, Dr. Joe and Amy Alton. And their website is doomandbloom.net. They do a podcast. They have a new book out. Dr. Joe, tell us the name of your new book and where they can listen to your podcast.
Our new book is called Alton's Pandemic Preparedness Guide. And you can find it on Amazon. You can find it on our website as well at doomandbloom.net, where we also have medical kits, personal protection gear, and all sorts of stuff. We also have a YouTube channel called Dr. Bones, Nurse Amy. That's my nickname, Dr. Bones. And people call Nurse Amy, well, they call her Nurse Amy.
Nurse Amy.
When they're not calling her goddess, of course.
Where, Dr. Bones, did they... Did you get that from Star Trek? Kind of, I always think of Star Trek.
Yeah, interestingly enough, but do you know where Star Trek got it from?
No, I don't.
The Star Trek actually got it from the Civil War, where the doctors could do very little for the soldiers in the Civil War except for cut off limbs. And so they called the doctors, were all called Sawbones. They called them Sawbones, and that shortened to Bones. as a nickname, and Star Trek picked it up, and there was actually, I think, a popular series with a lady doctor called Bones also. And I just sort of picked up the nickname somewhere, and I just
stuck.
Ran with it, I guess. Yeah, there you go.
Well, very good. Now, Nurse Amy, I got to get back to your story. Just please let me ask questions because I'm just fascinated by this. Everybody who's listening, you know, the vast majority of people have never went through any of this. So we hear about how dangerous it is. What we want to know about this. So you had symptoms, just to set the stage of people just now joining. You had symptoms. You had your chest started bothering you. That's when you got really concerned. The doctor that you called on video conference said, "Hey, get down to the this tent really quickly." Some people had similar symptoms, have been in ICU that night. So you went down to the tent.
Yep.
So walk us through it. You walk in. What do they sit you down? They give you a peppermint. What do they give you? What are people dressed like? The whole deal.
So,
what are we seeing?
I actually snuck a picture. I wasn't supposed to take it, so I can't share it publicly, but I do have a picture of the inside. On the outside of the tent is a whiteboard, and on the whiteboard they've written, no visitors, please take a single mask, only the patient. In other words, they don't want the visitors snatching the masks off the table and putting them in their pockets. So they have masks out there, so you take a mask. I did have one from home, so I already had my mask. They have foam hand sanitizers, you've got to pick it up and then push the top to actually get the foam to come out. It's not a hand dispenser like they usually have in the hospitals that are kind of no touch. I had to hold the bottle and push it, which was, again, a little scary because I'm thinking how many COVID patients touch the outside of this before
especially
now
in
I'm
that
picking
tent.
It up.
Yeah.
Let me quickly ask you about
sanitizers. So I'm heard that most hand sanitizers that we see, they're just for bacteria. They don't even deal with virus anyway. Is that true?
No, actually, I'll tell you that alcohol will kill viruses, but it has to be on you for a period of time. You have to be, your hands have to be visibly wet. And you know how people take hand sanitizer and they put a drop of it on their hand. You probably need to put a big glop of it on your hand.
Right. World Health Organization actually says a palm full.
A palm
full. So what a palm full is nearly half of a 1 ounce bottle, if you think about it.
They want you to go up to your wrist. And, every nook and cranny, and should take as long or longer a period of time than when you actually wash your hands with soap or water.
Right. So think about it. It's as if you have stuck your hands into a bucket full of hand sanitizer and then pulled them out and then shook your hands a little bit.
That's literally how
wet you need to be.
Jesus.
And you have to wait till it's dry for you to actually get the full effect. Now remember that you got to look at the hand sanitizer and you have to see
the strength
of it, right? It has to be at least 60% 60% alcohol to be an effective hand sanitizer to kill enough viruses.
60% alcohol.
Yes,
and you'll see if it's called hand sanitizer, check most of the labels will tell you exactly what they should have. Other than these fake ones that are on Amazon now, but it should tell you the percentage of alcohol.
You'd do better with moonshine. You just take moonshine and slosh or gasoline, kerosene.
That percentage.
Moonshine. If it depends
there's
on that.
There's a proof number, but that's not your alcohol number.
It would have to be 120.
Oh yes, it
proof.
Is.
Think about that.
Oh yes, it is, Nurse Amy.
Okay.
Oh, you got it.
180 proof is 90% alcohol, Nurse Amy.
You're good. You could make your own hand sanitizer.
Yeah, it sure is, Nurse Amy. I got some redneck friends around here that understand this perfectly. Now, you being the person you are, you may not understand it. But they understand this perfectly. All right, let's get back. You're in the tent. You got a mask. You're already on. You got the sanitizer. Okay, then what happens? Walk us through this.
Yeah, now you got to touch the handle to open the door.
Oh my gosh!
Which again is freaking me out. So I'm using my wrist.
And they have no gloves on the outside.
No, there's no gloves.
Okay,
let me pause you.
I'm sitting here listening to you. Why am I not thinking? Either A, this is not near as serious as they're making out to be, or B, are they stupid that they're letting you touch all these things? I mean.
I know. You know what? There's honest to goodness. Somebody who's like me, who is trained, I went to 4 years of nursing school and 3 years of a master's degree. From day one of my schooling, because we started our clinicals very early, the nursing school I went to, you are told all the things that you touch and how you do it and sterile technique and disinfecting and all the things that you need to do to keep clean. There is no way that an average person who didn't go through this or medical school or paramedic or other some other training is going to have this ingrained in their mind. Your guys are going to the grocery store. You're not thinking about every single thing you touch. Even if you touch a box of cereal that somebody just sneezed on and touch your phone. Now your phone has it. Now you're holding the phone up to your face and breathing it in. I mean, there just is an infinite amount of things that you have to think about. So I'm thinking about it because I'm trained. But the 99 people that came in there before me didn't think about that for 1 second.
The thing is that they consider the chance for contamination so high that the CDC actually recommends that no one put on and take off equipment without having an observer present that knows exactly how to do it.
Right.
And guess what? I'll bet nobody does that.
Wow. They're on time.
That's right.
They're overwhelmed.
And in 2014, there was a Liberian victim of Ebola that actually made it to the United States, made it to Dallas, wound up going to Dallas Presbyterian and infected a couple of nurses, not because they touched him without gloved hands or without masks on, but because they didn't know how to take off their equipment. And so what they did is they wound up contaminating themselves. If you have to look at it, if somebody is that sick, and especially with a respiratory disease like COVID-19, the front of your gown, especially if somebody's coughing a lot and you haven't been able to get a mask on them yet, well, the whole front of your
gown, your apron,
gloves, the front of your
face shield,
your mask, all of this stuff.
Gloves.
And that's another thing. People are wearing masks, but they're not wearing face shields. And you just don't realize that your eyes are a way that you can actually get COVID-19. You actually get COVID-19 through your eyes. The virus goes from the eye down into the tear duct and is flushed out, but it's flushed out into the nasal cavity. And that's exactly where you wind up getting in trouble. And so
the more I'm listening to you, the more I'm like, I don't want to go anywhere now. You're scaring the bejesus out of me.
You absolutely shouldn't go anywhere. Nobody should go anywhere. I'm telling you, nobody should go anywhere. My daughter, who is in Chicago, I have one in New York City and one in Chicago. That's where my two kids are. It's very scary for me. One of them's in Brooklyn, and it's terrifying for me. But my daughter in Chicago was on a group chat with friends, and one of the friends spoke up and said, "Oh my gosh, I just got a call from my friend, the other friend. Her father just died from COVID." My daughter also has a friend that she went to school with, and the brother was in actually my daughter's grade. So he's 31 years old. He graduated from med school. He's working in an emergency room. He has COVID. He's on a ventilator, and he took a turn for the worse yesterday. He's 31 years old, newly graduated doctor, and it's not looking good for him. This is not something that's just happening to old people who are going to die anyway. This is happening to infants, to children, to teenagers, and the people who have it who don't know it are giving it to other susceptible people. You might have a friend that's an asthmatic who's 25 years old.
So that's the big thing that people don't realize, and you can just, and they do mention it on the news. I was just watching the news right now, just before the show, and 25% of people, they say out loud, infected with COVID-19 are asymptomatic, like Amy said. The thing is that if you have a viral load and you are breathing out that viral load,
touching things, right,
touching your face, and or touching other people,
right?
Well, you know, there is a big chance you can get infected. But the CDC still doesn't recommend wearing masks in public. Now, this is a mistake.
I think they're going to change it.
Right now, they're saying that only wear masks if you're sick or taking care of the sick. That honestly is a huge mistake, and this is why you're seeing doubling of cases in some of the hotspots, is because there are people out there that I believe are infecting other people mm-hmm. that have no idea they
no
have
idea.
COVID-19.
They think they're fine.
You're basically telling me that, or telling our audience that the precautions, whatever they're being taken, the Walmart, for lack of a better word, the Walmart bubble precautions that we're having here really are doing little to stop spread. That's basically what you're telling me.
I think in some situations of being desperate, that we have to give some guidelines to make people feel like they have some control over this. But the truth is, don't leave home. If you don't have to desperately go to Walmart for something you desperately need and somebody can't absolutely live without for another month or so, don't go out. Don't get the extra thing of bread. Oh, I need another pair of flip-flops. Oh, I need some false eyelashes. My hair's turning gray. None of that matters right now. If you have to eat and you don't have any food, you go to the grocery store. But that's after you've used your last can of soup and you ate that cold tuna because you didn't have any mayonnaise on a cracker because you didn't have bread anymore. Well, that's when you go to the grocery store.
Let me interject what she said right there, Doc. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but the important point, what you just said, I would disagree with you on that, because as I'm looking at this, even listening to you, I'm starting to frame the future here, kind of see, I can see where they're going to start changing their restrictions. They're lowering the movement. And so I can see how this all will change. So to me, I don't wait till my last can of anything. I go to the store and I buy everything I can right now and I hunker down. That's what
right.
I'm hearing. That's
but
what I'm getting from you.
Yes, but you're a prepper, and see, we are too.
Shouldn't we all be preppers right now? I mean, Dr. Amy, that's what you're telling me.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Every person should have been a prepper their entire lives. You never know. A flood, a fire, a hurricane, a tornado, every single one of us should have stores of food for, you know, at least a month.
Well, listen, all I have to say is that we have to instill a culture of preparedness in the United States. I mean, we are so unprepared. Maybe 3% of folk are like us, people that, you know, might store food or might store medicines, things like that, and or medical supplies. But we absolutely have to instill this culture of preparedness. We are absolutely unprepared for this thing, and this thing is going to, I predict, probably millions of cases here in the United States alone, tens of millions certainly throughout the world before we're done. And this is something that could have been, well, ameliorated, mitigated, whatever you want to call it, if we had just taken some common sense, realized that there's an infection. Once we realize there's an infectious disease out there that has a significant chance of getting you really sick, you know, we probably should have really instilled some really big precautions. Now, we did travel bans. That was something that I actually wrote about, you know, and I agreed with it. I wanted to do travel bans with the Ebola back in 2014. I lost a lot of followers that day. But we have to absolutely tell people to start putting masks on. And if you don't have to necessarily have to have the N95 mask, but you need to have something. Even the CDC is saying that medical personnel can wear bandanas or straight-on standard surgical masks, that it is much better than nothing. And
that's the point. Well, we just want to say that. They're getting so desperate that it's better than nothing. We're not saying a cloth mask is going to filter out a virus, but maybe it'll keep something out. And most of all, if 25% of people really are asymptomatic, don't you want a mask on the people who might be coughing on you or breathing on you? That's a good thing. If we can keep those people from spreading it who don't even know they're sick, maybe that's the better reason for the mask. It's not so much to keep you from getting sick. It's to keep the people who don't know they're sick from making other people sick.
Nurse Amy, I'm listening to you. I'm ready to kick Uncle Kevin out of the studio. You're scared. I mean, let me go back to what you just said.
On the other side of the room.
We're not 6 feet apart. I mean, Walmart would be, they'd yell at us right now. Let me ask you a question about You said millions of, you see millions of people coming down with this in America. Okay. What do you think the mortality rate will be in that number? And what do you think the number
I think
serious-
in the United States actually will be a lot better than most people. I think I'm expecting a probably 1% mortality rate here.
Yeah.
That, but in other parts of the world where essentially you have not as strong a medical infrastructure, I could see 5% easily in a lot of places. As a matter of fact, I don't have to guess at it. I mean, you can look at Italy right now. It's 9% death rate if you get it. And that's among the people that they've identified. Now, the good news is that there's good news and bad news. And within the bad news, that people, there are going to be a lot more people that are going to die from this, is the fact that there are so many cases that we don't know about, is that the true death rate is probably much lower than what we actually think. So we probably have a less than 1% death rate, because the number of cases in the U.S. right now are probably a factor of 10 more than what they report on the news.
Or what we know. If we tested everyone.
All right, let me do some quick math. You're telling me, I mean, I'm just doing some quick, I mean, even just assuming low numbers, you're telling me 250,000 people are about to die in America in the next 9 months from this.
No, that's let's see, how many do we have right now?
100 to 200,000 is the estimate. If we do our distancing, if we stay home.
It'll be more than that if we don't.
All right, well, let me ask you about, you know, you obviously live with Nurse Amy, Dr. Joe. She got sick. Did you get sick like she did?
No, I haven't gotten sick yet, but then again, I'm wearing a mask.
Yeah, but okay.
I'm wearing a mask, and we have
social distancing.
We have stations. We have stations around the house where there's hand sanitizer. I have obviously soap and water.
I have UV lights everywhere. I have 4 UV lights in our room, on our bedroom. We're sleeping on opposite sides of the bed. I have what they did in the hospital tent, which is you move air in a certain way, and then you bring it out. So I have fans blowing over him at night towards me, and then on the other side of my bed, I have 2 UV lights that take the air that's come over me and sterilize that air.
But the main thing that probably is preventing me from getting sick so far, and that's if, by the way, if I don't really have it, because I could be one of the 25% of people that have it.
Yeah, you could be asymptomatic right now.
But the reason why is probably that I wash my hands probably at least 20 times a day.
So do I.
And that is a big difference from before. I used to wash my hands, you know, 4 or 5 times a day. But now I'm washing them pretty much before preparing food, after preparing food. Of course, you know, restrooms. That's not new. But after I touch her.
After you touch anything. Yeah. The refrigerator door.
I touch things that she touched.
We've designated the refrigerator door handle, because it's a top to bottom handle. He touches the top half, and I only touch the bottom half. This is how much we've thought about this. Every door handle, I walk around with a spray bottle of alcohol. This is not a joke. I really do this. Every single thing I am about to touch, I spray it, and then I touch it while it's wet, and then I don't touch it again. Everything has been sprayed many times.
And this is, I know
TV
this sounds...
TV controllers,
I know this
handles.
Sounds, I know this sounds like overkill to everybody that's in your audience.
Sounds like a war movie.
You,
sounds like freaking...
It does.
I don't want to die.
It's a war.
I'm sorry.
It's a war, and sure enough, if we don't really work hard to try to prevent ourselves from being affected by the virus, well, you know, we're just going to have more and more people that are going to that are just not going to make it, and that's a problem. And I know that this is something that people don't believe it. But it is something that
I don't think it's about.
Problem.
Well, let me interject, Doc. And I don't think it's a matter of people don't believe it or not. Here's even just listening to you. I mean, your story is. I wanted to go in a completely different direction, but this is so compelling. I mean, I wanted to talk about, you know, preparedness, medical, and whatever. This was way more compelling. here's what's going through my mind, and I'm sure a lot of people's minds. Okay, if everything that you said is true, let's assume everything you said is true, then why in the hell is Walmart open? I mean, forget the bubbles.
Right.
Forget the 6 feet.
Because it has food. That's why it's open, because it has food. If they didn't have food, they shouldn't be open.
Okay, but do you see my point? Then find some way. They should be out there with hazmat masks and only selling eggs, bread, milk, and meat or something out the front or something. And you have to have a mask to get it or whatever.
Well, you're right. And the best solution for me would be that I would place an order online. They would have it ready for me at the front of the store. And
yeah, but they don't take precautions.
Say a grocery cart with a big number or my name on it,
yeah.
And then I would go to that grocery cart and put the groceries in my trunk myself, and then spray it with all alcohol when I get home.
It's not that I don't believe you or America doesn't believe you. It's that the way the government officials, quote unquote, I hate that word. I don't know what they're official of, but the way that we are being told, the things we are being told do not match with the story you just told me. That's where the disconnect comes in. And that's where the disbelief and the unsurety comes from. I can assure you of that. That's the way I would. Wouldn't you, Kev? Wouldn't you agree with that?
Daniel, I got to tell you though, that the CDC is at this moment considering whether they're going to change their recommendations as to wearing masks in public. They are, I predict, going to tell people to be wearing masks when they go out in public within the next 2 weeks.
Oh, I predict we're going to be locked down in our homes if we're not pretty soon, the way this is going. I mean, what you're saying is true.
There you go.
It's been a real pleasure talking to you two. I mean, really fun. I've had a blast. I hope that you guys have. Doomandbloom.net is the website. Please check them out. Dr. Bones, he's affectionately known as. It's been a pleasure having you on, you two. God bless you.
Thank you, Daniel. Great to hear from you guys. Thank you.
And be safe.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you to be. Wow. You talk about different interviews. I mean, we've had the whole gamut the past week.
Yeah, I feel like going out and slit my wrist.
No, see you tomorrow. He'll be here tomorrow. Stay tuned. See you tomorrow.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.